Welcome to Small Business Big Challenge, the podcast that gives you the right tools, the knowledge, and the confidence to start and grow your small business. Because what stands between you and your most ambitious dreams has less to do with having a genius idea and far more about how you approach problems, make decisions to solve them, and have the courage to implement them. So without further ado, from the beautiful village of Cuba, New York, your host, Lionel Legree.
Many small business owners run their company alone or with their spouses, and they often take care of all aspects of the business themselves. They often believe that outsourcing any of their tasks like bookkeeping, payroll, or marketing will be cost prohibitive, and they're concerned about mistakes and fraud. And they also think that it would take too much time to train someone to only end up with a job of lower quality. It often ends up paralyzing the company and making it impossible to scale up and grow the business. Some of the themes throughout this podcast are that your first responsibility as a CEO is to constantly seek expertise, build a team fitting the culture of your company, grow your team by delegating and extracting their ideas and creativity, document and automate your processes, and focus your efforts on what will build and grow your business. Today, we'll talk about process automation and outsourcing with my guest, Michelle Thompson. Michelle started a promising career with an MBA in finance and entrepreneurship from Ashford University. And only a few years later, she suffered a life-altering stroke at only 36 years old and had to relearn everything and start a life over again. But far from giving up, she rebuilt her life and is now on a mission to help others find freedom from all unnecessary tasks using the strategies and systems she successfully created for herself. For the last 14 years, she's running Awesome Outsourcing LLC, combining her strategies with her talents and entangling people's problems in creating actionable and easy-to-follow plans for them to hand things off. Michelle lives in Pendleton, Oregon, with a cat and dog, and loves going hiking and biking. Michelle, welcome to Small Business Big Challenge. And to start, I wanted to present my condolences for the loss of your dog, Pierre.
Thank you. I appreciate that. That was tough, but it was what was best for him.
And unfortunately, I'm going to stay on a difficult topic. And I'm going to ask you if you could share with our listeners your experience of relearning and restarting your life after your stroke at 36 years old.
Yeah, sure. I'd love to tell you that I was a very willing and compliant patient, and I was not. I had a stroke about 5 years ago. I was at work, and all of a sudden my computer screen went black, and I thought, what in the world? I need a new computer screen. And I turned my head, and the black followed me, and I went, oh, that's not good. So we called the ambulance, and found out a little while later that I had had a stroke that went to the bottom part of my brain, into my brainstem, and it had cut off oxygen for a couple of minutes. So because of that, I literally went from an MBA in finance down to a second grade education level in about 30 seconds. When I went to the doctor, they basically said, you know, Michelle, this is permanent brain damage. We're not going to be able to get this back. And even though you're young and healthy, I was 38 at the time, you know, you're never going to work again. And, you know, it's more a matter of when you have another stroke as opposed to if you have another stroke. And so, reason for that is I have a underlying blood condition that we didn't know I had. So my body, I have something called factor five. And so my body makes blood clots constantly. And that day, one of those blood clots happened to go up into my brain. And when they sat me down and I said, you know what, Dr. Murphy, I'm just not willing to accept that. Can we at least try? Like, can I at least try to go to physical therapy and occupational therapy? Because I was very happy at my job. I was a project controls engineer and I loved doing what I did. And so he's like, okay, yeah, it probably won't make a big difference, but we'll try. And honestly, I went to physical therapy for about 2 years and made almost zero progress. And finally, my physical therapist sat me down and she's like, you know what, Michelle, you need to stop being so ungrateful. And I went, what? And I was like, are you kidding me? And she's like, no. She's like, do you realize that if you had been born even 50 years ago, we wouldn't have the technology available today for you to be able to live a normal life. And if you would just stop wallowing in your depression and let me help you, I can actually help you have a relatively normal life. And I'd love to tell you that I was like, okay, great, let's do it. I didn't. I not so politely told her to go pound sand. And then about 2 weeks later, I called her up and I said, you know what? You're absolutely right. And I absolutely needed to hear that. And over the next 8 months, we worked really, really hard. And she taught me how to use technology to outsource literally every part of my life. So I have a machine that reminds me to take my medicine. I have another machine that reminds me to drink water. I have apps on my phone that remind me to turn the stove off when I turn it on, or you know, have I left the keys to the house in the door, things like that. And while we were going through all of that, my brain started thinking, well, gosh, if we can outsource everything in our basic lives, why can't we do it for business too? And so my MBA started like clicking in my head. And I was like, well, dang, this is just a bunch of processes. And if we could set up processes for business, we could do the same thing. And so we started. We started with, I had a little side hustle, a blog that I had some, you know, affiliate links on. And I realized, you know, if I don't do something, I'm going to lose all of this. And so I started systematically one process at a time, handing it off to somebody. And about 6 months later, here we're pumping out 6-7 blogs a week. And my friends got a hold of me and they're like, Michelle, how are you doing this? You can't write anymore. I said, you're right. I'm not doing any of it. And they're like, what do you mean you're not doing any of it? I said, I outsourced it all. I gave it to somebody else and I pay them. And they're like, you're kidding, right? I said, no, I'm dead serious. They're like, okay, you got to teach me how to do this. And I was like, okay, I'll teach you, but I can't be held responsible if it doesn't go well. Because it worked for me, but maybe it won't work for somebody else, right? And so we did. We tried it with a couple of my friends and I'll be darned if it didn't work really, really well. And they're like, okay, Michelle, you gotta teach people this. And I was like, no, I'm not willing to risk somebody's business off of this. And they're like, no, trust me, you're much better at this than you think you are. Just do it and we won't hold you responsible for the results. And I went, okay, that's fair. We can try that. So we ran a beta group and we basically did the exact same process for them. And we were able to outsource about 50% of their businesses. And we gave them, each one of them, about 30 hours back every week. And so we thought, all right, we've got something here. We've got some processes. We've got some systems in place. And so we just started building it out. And Awesome Outsourcing was really built from that. And it's kind of the silver lining on the stroke, if you will.
So the realization that you could apply the skills that you had learned and apply that to your business process, was that an epiphany or was that a slow process that matured?
Honestly, it was a complete mistake. I'd love to tell you I had like some epiphany and I didn't. Literally what happened was my doctor said, you know, hey, Michelle, because of your blood disorder, we don't know when you're going to have another stroke. And so you need to document everything. And So I sat down and did my power of attorney and my living will and, you know, planned my own funeral. And then I thought, well, gee, I've got all this knowledge in my brain that I'd like to hand off to somebody else in the event that I can't talk anymore. And so I started recording videos. And then what we did was each one of those videos, we just turned into a process. And that was kind of when the light bulb really went off. Like, oh, wow, it can really be this easy. And so what happened was I started transferring my brain into a video and then having somebody else turn it into a standard operating procedure. And then from there, using that to be able to hire and outsource so that somebody was able to do it as if I had done it myself, because I took the time to literally download everything that was going on in my brain, all the little micro decisions that I make instantly. And that was what really, really made it successful, was because we slowed down to speed up later.
Can you give us examples of unnecessary tasks that you see small business owners do?
Yeah, absolutely. One that we run into quite a bit is, you know, social media branding, right? You're constantly spending your time trying to get your word out there. And you know what? We all have tons and tons of assets that we could easily hand off to somebody else and have them cut them up into snippets or make social media posts or anything. And literally all we have to do is give them our brand board, the fonts that we want used, and the overall vibe and feel of what we're looking for. And I mean, you could go to Fiverr and, you know, hire somebody for, you know, $45 a month, and they'll do all your social media for you. You know, other things that, you know, you shouldn't be prepping for your own meetings. You shouldn't be checking your own email. And people are like, oh yeah, but then, you know, how in the world am I going to somebody else going to respond to my email for me? Well, they may not be able to respond to you, but they can flag which ones are important, which ones are junk and you shouldn't even be looking at, because I know when I go through my own email, I end up going down rabbit trails. And then 45 minutes later, I'm like looking at some piece of software on AppSumo that I should have never even like be looking at. Right. And so that saves me from all those little shiny objects. You shouldn't be doing your own bookkeeping. That's a very, very simple thing to hand off. And both you and your accountant will thank you at tax time, right? If you could just, and I mean, that's like 3 hours a month, right? To have somebody go in and you send them all the receipts and they just take care of it. Really any task that is not inside of your zone of genius, right? What your superpower is, what you're really, really good at, you should be asking your brain, how can I get this off my plate and get somebody else to do it as if I had done it myself? And the answer isn't always I can 100% get rid of it, but you might be able to get rid of 80% of it. And that's the key right there, is when you shift your thinking and you start saying, if I got hit by a bus tomorrow, it's a really bad way to put it, but that's what I was dealt with in reality. What would I be able to hand off so that my business would continue to go without me? And when you start asking your brain that question, it comes up with all kinds of creative answers.
And when I talk about outsourcing, the first objection I get is, how do you outsource a task without lowering the quality of the end results?
Yeah, that's a great question. I get that one all the time. And remember I told you we're going to slow down to speed up? And the easiest way to do it is, currently you're doing all those tasks yourself, right? So record yourself on Zoom doing that task, or Loom or whatever. I don't care what piece of software you use. And while you're doing the task, don't just show somebody how to do the task when you share your screen, but explain the reason why you're doing what you're doing. So here's a great example. When I first started with my blog writer Noriel, I made a horrible mistake. I was terrible at outsourcing when I first started. And I told him, hey, I want you to go find a professional business picture and use that as the main graphic of the blog. And he went out and I didn't tell him anything other than that. I just want you to go find a good business picture. And he came back and he literally had this picture of this guy holding this umbrella in this dark black suit with this red tie. And he's got this frown on his face and it's raining outside. Right. And to him, that was a successful business person because he was in the dark suit. He looked ominous, like very powerful. And I was like, oh my gosh. And you have to laugh because our branding colors are like, you know, pink and purple, and we're very like business casual. And so it was like the complete opposite. And so what most people do is when they get that back, they're like, oh my gosh, right? I should have just done this myself. And what happens is they go and do it themselves, right? If you can stop right there and say, you know what, this is my fault. I'm the reason that this came back like this because I didn't give enough information. And so what I did was I went to like Pixabay or one of the free places you can get a whole bunch of graphics. And I pulled up, just typed in business person. And all these pictures came up. And I hit record and I said, okay, Noriel, we're going to go through what I feel is a good business picture and what isn't. And these are the reasons why. And so I went through and I said, okay, I like the way that this lady is leaned up and I like the smile on her face. I don't necessarily like this picture because the lady has her arms crossed and she seems really cold. This picture, while the facial expressions are great, it doesn't match with our colors at all because it's orange and green, right? And, you know, here's our font colors. And so I went through about 100 pictures and I said, okay, this is a good picture and this is why I like this picture. This is a bad picture. This is why I like this picture. This is why it doesn't fit. And that video took me about 10 or 15 minutes. And I sent that off to him. And do you know, in 6 years, I think I've had to correct 2 pictures ever since then, because I took the time to stop and explain what was going on in my brain, explain why I wanted the picture that I wanted, branding colors and what our fonts were, and what, how it fit with the overall company culture. And that was the information that was the missing link. And so a lot of times, like people, like if you guys don't know about, ScribeHow, this is like the greatest secret ever. Scribe is this piece of software that's actually, it's free, that goes through and every time you point and click on your mouse, it actually takes a screenshot. And so it creates a standard operating procedure for you, which is amazing. But then we have to go in and we have to add our brain into it. So we have to edit it a little bit. So by the time we have the Scribe, which is the pictures and the text, and then also any decision trees that go on in our brain, plus we've recorded on video, we've covered the 3 ways that people learn, right? So they're either auditory, visual, or they want a step-by-step checklist, right? And so very quickly and very easily, we've been able to create that and done it in a way that if they duplicate that exactly as you had done it, it should be 90% as if you had done the task for yourself. And if you're trying to get 100%, you're wrong. Sorry. it's just, you know, you can never be perfect. That person is never going to be 100% you, but if it can get 90%, 90% is good enough, 99% of the time, right? It doesn't matter if the graphic moves 2 degrees that way, right? Cause what we're trying to do is get our time efficiency back. And so when we take the time to slow down and document that all out, and please don't document that yourself, please just record the video and then give the video to the person that's going to be doing that task and have them create the standard operating procedure and have them create the Scribe, because they'll teach themselves how, right? And then you just put it in your Google Drive or wherever your database is. And if that person ever leaves, no problem. That task is already documented. You can just grab that SOP, hand it to them, and here's the video, here's the step-by-step instructions. And one other just kind of tip is for each one of my virtual assistants, any task that they do, it is their responsibility once a quarter to go in and update that standard operating procedure, because inevitably Facebook is going to move the button, right? And so if you have an SOP that's like 3 years old, that's not very helpful. But if you just tell them, hey, in your downtime, once a quarter, you need to go through and update them and replace any screenshots, then you have a manual that is always up to date and you can always hand off at any time.
Yeah, I really love your idea of recording your business processes And it gives you this great business continuity plans that a lot of small businesses don't have.
Yeah. And the cool part is like so many people think it's like this big, huge, scary task, but you're already doing the task. So if you can just slow down just a little bit and record yourself doing that task, guess what? You can now hand that off and you just gave yourself back 15 minutes a week and then another 15 minutes. And what happens is we get this snowball that gets larger and larger and larger. And before we know it, we're looking for things to do because we've outsourced ourselves and we're trying to figure out, oh, great, what's my value? No, not really. But the cool part is then you get to work on your business instead of in your business and really grow it, which is super cool.
So that answers really well the first objection about the quality of the work. The second objection I get a lot is about the affordability to hire expert help.
It depends on where you're looking. You know, if you're looking for a virtual assistant in the United States, you're probably going to pay about $30 an hour. There are other places, if you want a technical virtual assistant in the United States, you're probably looking at $50 or $60. Right, as a minimum. And a lot of small business owners just aren't able to do that. And so there are some agencies out there that make it much more affordable. Our agency as of this recording, right, might change, right, 3 years from now. But we charge $16.75 an hour. And how we do that is we go all around the world to find our talent. So we hire out of Mexico, we hire out of the Philippines, we hire out of Eastern Europe. And so each one of those have technical skills that work really well, where I can pay them $7 an hour. And while that sounds like a super low, horrible rate, if I pay them $7 an hour in the Philippines full-time, that's equivalent to about $100,000 in the United States. And it's just because the US dollar to Filipino peso ratio conversion rate is so valuable. And that's one of the things that makes our company different is we want to make sure that any virtual assistant that we're hiring, we're actually making their lives way better. So we're not trying to like undercut them or underpay them or anything like that. We're trying to make their lives better while still being affordable for a small business owner. And that's where the beauty of both mesh.
And when you outsource any task, there's always a risk of mistake and risk of fraud. So what's the right balance between micromanaging and doing everything yourself and completely handing things off?
Yeah, that's a great question. And there are lots and lots of pieces of software out there that can protect you and put a layer of security in between you and your employees. Like for passwords, I never give my employees my passwords. I use a piece of software called 1Password. And inside of there, you can get a family account or a business account, and you can just share it with them. And so they can click a button and it'll go through. Same thing with bank accounts, right? You can use a piece of software, a program called Nacho Nacho. And what Nacho Nacho does is it actually goes through and it takes your debit card or your bank account and it creates virtual debit cards that you can go in and, you know, it'll only allow your gym membership to charge $30 a month, right? And never more than that. So it'll literally make a virtual credit card for each and every one of those. And then if anything ever were to happen, there's a limit, right? So the maximum that you could ever, you know, get frauded out of is like $30, right? And then you can just go in and click a button and cut it off. Same thing with Google Drive. I have everything in Google Drive because there's a hierarchy folder. And so with one click of a button, I can go in and lock everybody out of everything. And so there are lots of security features that you can do. But one of the other biggest things, and I'm going to argue a lot of this actually goes back to hiring. You should really be making sure that they're a good culture fit first, because you can hire anybody to click a button and do a task, right? But you can't hire somebody who's going to be a perfect fit for your company just snap, right? There should be a gel, and there should be a lot of behavioral questions that go through to make sure that they are a good fit for your company before you even hire them. And there's got to be that trust. But what we do is we use hours tracking software. So there's lots of them. You can use like Hubstaff or WorkSnaps or Time Doctor. I don't care which one you use. But the cool part is is that it keeps them honest. So not only does it make it really easy for me to run payroll because I can go through and I can see how many hours that they've worked, it also takes a snapshot of their computer every 10 minutes only while they're working. And so at that point, I can go through and I can troubleshoot. If it's taking them 2.5 hours to make a graphic, something's wrong, right? And so I can dive in and dissect the problem without having to micromanage, if that makes any sense. And so I've found that as a really good way to keep both of us honest without me having to stare over their shoulder 24/7.
And for small business owners, what would be the task to outsource first?
Great question. The first thing that comes off the top of my head is I would probably outsource bookkeeping first. It's usually the easiest thing. But we have a tool that we've actually made for this. So if you go to awesomeoutsourcing.com/task discovery, what you'll find is it's just a Google spreadsheet with three little videos that explain how to do a time audit. And what it does is it goes through and it keeps track of what you've done for a week. And then what we're going to do is categorize them by job description, right? Is this marketing? Is this admin? Is this finance? What is it? And then we can go through and we can figure out, okay, what's going to give me the most amount of time back while also is the easiest to delegate? And when it's all right there in front of you, it makes it very easy to make that decision because then you just go down the checklist and, okay, this is what I record the next video for.
So is that the process when you get a new client to go through that list?
Yeah, absolutely. So I never want to overwhelm anybody when we first bring them into the company. So what I do is I ask our clients, hey, what are the top 10 things that you want to hand off? And for each one of those tasks, I need an in-depth video where you are downloading your brain for each one of those tasks. Then my team is going to take that and we're going to turn those into standard operating procedures for you. And then while we're hiring for that person, because we specifically hire for each client, we don't have like a queue of people waiting because we take a look at the behavioral side of things too. And so while I'm hiring, it's the business owner's job to get me those 10 videos. And so then what happens is once I have that person hired, I'm going to put them through some basic training, some like foundational level type things. But then in addition to that, when we take it up a notch is when I'm going to hand them off those videos and I'm going to say, okay, here's the video. Here's the standard operating procedure. I want you to go through and I want you to find holes. Where didn't we do a good job? And so what happens is they train themselves so that, and that usually takes us about 2 or 3 weeks, right? And then once we hand them off, they should be able to hit the ground running day one, being able to complete those tasks because they've already done them.
And have you found that there's some tasks that are really difficult to outsource?
There are. Typically one of the most challenging things to outsource is your email. If you're trying to 100% get rid of your email, that's very challenging. Now you can get rid of 80% of it, right? And what I've done is if I have to respond, I'll actually hit, I'll use Voxer and I'll say, you know, hey, for Alex's email, can you type this response back? Hey, Alex, blah, 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 blah. Let's schedule for next Tuesday. Thanks, Michelle. Right. And so then what happens is my executive assistant will type that out word for word for me and send it off. But if you wanted somebody to jump in your brain and know exactly what you're going to say and when, that's very, very challenging. Yeah.
And we already talked about email, but personally, what else do you outsource?
You know, there honestly isn't much that I don't outsource. So for me personally, I can't outsource this, right? You know, us actually doing this interview, I have to be physically in the chair here to do this. But everything else that goes on after this podcast, right? Because we're going to go through and we're going to advertise it for you. We're going to put marketing dollars behind it. We're going to email it out to our list. All those processes, I'm not going to touch any of those. We have a system for all of it so that when you send me the email, my executive assistant knows to grab that and send it off to the different departments and it just happens. So because of my stroke, I'm limited in how much that I can work. And so we run this company and I honestly work about 3 to 4 hours a day, 3 days a week. So I work 12 to 15 hours, and everything else is delegated out to somebody else.
So what's your focus during the 3 hours a day?
Yeah, that's the cool part, is I get to do things like this, right? Where I'm able to teach. And the other, a lot of what I do is I'm building the business. So I'm not in the business doing the work. I'm building the business. So I'm coming up with the strategic plan of which target market do we want to go after? You know, what is the offer that we want? And then I can meet with our advertising department and say, hey, I need you to test this to see if this market is viable or something like that. So I get to be the integrator and strategic thinker, which is kind of nice, because I get to have all these ideas, but I never have to implement.
And what's the best way for our listeners to get in touch with you?
Yeah, honestly, the easiest way is probably to stalk us on our webpage or on Facebook. So it's awesomeoutsourcing.com, all one word. And then I believe if you go to facebook.com/awesomeoutsourcing, you'll find our business page there.
And do you have some videos or do you have a book on this subject?
Oh, great question. So I have written a book, so you can find it on Amazon. It's called Running on Autopilot. That will literally go A to Z on how to find, hire, and train your virtual assistant, exactly like I do it. And we actually have a ton of YouTube videos out there. So if you were to go onto YouTube and type our name in, Awesome Outsourcing, or type my name in, you should come up with a whole bunch of instructional videos that we have out there to help people.
Well, Michelle, thank you so much for sharing your life experience with us today and on giving us tips on reducing useless tasks and using outsourcing. You're definitely a great source of inspiration. Thank you for being on the show today.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thanks a lot for listening to the show today. If you like this episode, head to Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts and hit subscribe. Leave a rating and a comment while you're there. It really helps new listeners to find the show. You can also join us at smallbusinessbigchallenge.com for more content or to leave a message with your ideas and what you'd like to hear next. If you are starting, running, or supporting a small business, this is your show. So be our next guest and share your story. For more information, go to smallbusinessbigchallenge.com.